Seeing none, we'll close out crop insurance. And finally, any amendments on Title 11, the miscellaneous title? Mr. King.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment at the desk.
Gentleman's recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment that is being distributed here as I speak was known in the last Farm Bill as the King Amendment, but I prefer to call it the Protect Interstate Commerce Amendment. And what it does is it recognizes that we have multiple states across the country now. Those states have grown since the last time we marked up a Farm Bill. There were really only a couple of them at the time that had passed regulations that regulated the means of production of common agriculture products in other states. And the result of that is, for example, California's cage size regulations, and we have inspectors from California that are now traveling around Iowa with their tape measures and measuring the cage sizes of our laying hens in Iowa. We have states that have prohibited gestation crates. They can do that within their states, but they prohibit the importation of into their state of meat that is produced in a fashion that they disapprove. And that goes on with stalls for veal calves and the prohibition to feeding ducks and geese for foie gras liver and a number of other things, and it's getting worse. And so this is something that came to me about 8 years ago, that it's a violation of the Commerce Clause of our Constitution. It is an enumerated power that exclusively reserves to Congress the authority to regulate interstate commerce. And the states are free to regulate intrastate commerce. We don't interfere with any of the state laws that regulate within their state boundaries. But we do say that if you want a regulation that goes outside those state boundaries, then you have to come to Congress to do that. And our founding fathers wanted to see a free trade zone between the original 13 colonies because they knew that states would put up trade barriers and put tariffs on at the state lines if they did not have the Commerce Clause in the Constitution. And so they drafted in our Constitution the Commerce Clause to prohibit trade wars between the states. Now, I've been a strong proponent of free trade, and I've been to most of the countries that we negotiated bilateral trade agreements with to promote free trade. And when I go to them now, we're vulnerable to this accusation. You don't have free trade between your own states. How can you call for free trade between the nation states of a bilateral trade agreement? And so with this amendment, we do restore free trade between the states, and we preempt some really bad things that are coming down the pike. As I said, last time this was a case about 4 years ago, it'll be worse if we don't do this now. I actually thought it would be a little worse than it is right now, but it is getting worse. And there are at least two different lawsuits that have been filed to address this thing through litigation. But there's also been the problem of decisions made at the lower courts denying standing for some of the entities. And now there are, I believe, two states that have filed suits that are they want to bring directly to the Supreme Court. But the bottom line really is this, that we can't let every state decide what's going to go on in all the other states or refuse to accept their products. And so this is a very clean restoration of the Commerce Clause of our Constitution. It passed out of this committee by voice vote last time. And the only places that I'm finding opposition from this are states that are trying to regulate other states from within their state boundaries. And so I just urge this adoption, and I would yield back the balance of my time.
Chairman, yield back. Mr. Denham. Mr. Denham, you're recognized 5 minutes. Clerk will pass out the second-degree amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My amendment would strike out the underlying amendment's language, replacing it with a provision that requires USDA to analyze existing state ag production regulations and how such regulations interact with amendment each other in interstate commerce. The underlying amendment offered by Mr. King fundamentally undermines the state's constitutional right to enact laws and regulations that protect the citizens within their borders.
The 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution reserves powers to the states of the people, including the power to preserve and protect the safety, health, welfare, and morals of the community. I am fully aware of the opposition to the egg cage standards my state has enforced, as well as ongoing legal efforts to nullify them. But this proposal goes far beyond attacking California egg production and beyond its guise of protecting interstate commerce. Rather, it indiscriminately targets any and all state laws that can be deemed a burden to out-of-state entities, even laws democratically passed by popular vote, which in California, Prop 2 was passed by the popular vote of the people. These are just a few of the areas states will be restricted from acting upon: invasive pest and disease protections, food and product safety, animal disease testing, agriculture inspection processes, quarantine standards, and imported product reviews. There would be a lot of opportunities for members of either side of the aisle to take advantage of this new provision on any issue that they don't like coming from another state. Nearly every single state represented by a member on this committee has laws that will be targeted by lawsuits or eliminated outright. Laws that are intended to keep our constituents and state industries safe. The amendment goes even farther to create uncertainty for our farmers, consumers, and states by creating a broad private right to action. Any kind of person could sue at state and local governments for any type of regulation and seek damages for economic loss. This only serves to turn our country from an economic engine into a lawsuit factory. As Congress, it is our responsibility to uphold the totality of the Constitution, even when the consequences of adhering to it are not perfectly convenient for all at all times. If the burden of state laws is so overwhelming to our agriculture industry and domestic economy, then there should be a more analytical approach than a hasty blanket prohibition on all existing and future state laws. My amendment calls for USDA to examine existing state laws and their impact on U.S. commerce. The resulting report will be a useful tool for this committee and Congress as it considers federal policies with potential implications for our states. The King Amendment is dangerously vague and broad sweeping, and I urge my colleagues to vote yes on my substitute amendment.
Chairman, yield back.
And I yield back.
Chairman yields back. Is there further comment or debate on the second degree amendment?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Goodlatte.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I support the underlying amendment offered by the gentleman from Iowa, and I'm opposed to the substitute amendment, and I'd urge my colleagues to vote against that and for the underlying provision. We don't need to do a study of the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution. The Constitution is clear that it is the federal government that regulates interstate commerce and not the state of California or any other state. And the impact of leaving this unchecked is, I think, very devastating to our economy. Our economy was built upon the concept that we had one open opportunity to sell goods all across America. And we had a failed Articles of Confederation before we adopted our Constitution. One of the principal reasons the Constitution was adopted was to assure that states could not regulate businesses outside their jurisdiction. So the problem we have here is that when California says they want eggs sold in their state, even if they're raised in Iowa or Arkansas or Ohio or wherever they're raised, to certain California specifications, that means that if Texas and Illinois and Pennsylvania wrote different specifications, you would totally balkanize the American economy. So I think this amendment, which was adopted previously, is well thought out and should be adopted by the committee. And I think a study which simply delays the issue is not a good idea. If you're going to protect open American agriculture and competition, the King Amendment is the way to go about doing that. I urge my colleagues to support the King Amendment and oppose the substitute.
Chairman yields back. There further, Mr. Gibbs, or excuse me, Ms. Costa, if I may.
Yes, I rise to support the Denham Amendment and to reject the King Amendment. Clearly, I can see where we get regional differences. But as I said, those of us who believe in federalism understand that while states may take certain actions that we may agree or disagree with, if we do really believe in federalism, then we must respect and recognize states to do what they think is the best public policy in their areas within the confines and the constraints of our Constitution, obviously. I think the Denham Amendment attempts to address some of the issues that have been raised here. And this is not a new issue. We debated this issue in 2014 reauthorization of the Farm Bill. And I suspect as long as Representative King and I and Congressman Denham are here. We'll continue to debate this issue, for better or worse. But the fact is that we do want to promote commerce, interstate commerce. I don't think we've seen a limitation of those areas, whether we're talking about in the poultry industry or whether we're talking about other related agricultural industries, limited for their ability to participate in the California markets as a result of the laws that the state legislature enacted. I might also add, this was not implemented by the state legislature or the governor. Many of our states have initiative and referendum systems, and this was an initiative voted by the voters of California. So the fact is that you have measures that qualify on the ballot, whether in your state or our state, and the voters vote on it, and they decide that that's the policy they want to pursue. This is obviously in direct contradiction to allowing the voters in those states to determine their what they think is the best public policy. I did not support the initiative. Let me be clear about it. But nonetheless, it passed. And the California poultry industry is dealing with it. And so I support the Denham Amendment. And again, as I did 4 years ago, oppose the King Amendment. And I hope that we'll get a chance to vote on this. Yes.
All types, not just California, but every other state. You be careful who's in the majority here, because different things can happen depending on who's trying to propose these in different states. When you find things that you don't like to manipulate the Constitution for your benefit, can create big problems with lawsuits across the country. Now, this was litigated in federal court. Prop 2 was litigated in federal court, and it was upheld. It was upheld. It was found that the law isn't unconstitutional because it applies evenly to in-state and out-of-state producers. But over 100, because this is so broad and so new and was never heard, over 180 diverse stakeholders have come out in firm opposition to the King Amendment, including FreedomWorks, the National Conference of State Legislators, Humane Society, Fraternal Order of Police, National Farmers Union, and Environmental Working Group, to just to name a few.
Reclaiming my time before it expires, a question to my colleague. I was under the assumption this was the same language as 4 years ago, so you're telling me that it goes even more extreme and covers, impacts more states, is that correct?
Yes.
So it would be even... the impact would be further and far-reached beyond California.
Far-reaching beyond California and beyond egg and poultry industries.
Okay.
It can affect every industry.
Well, for all of those good reasons, again, I support the Denham Amendment and oppose the King Amendment, and I hope our colleagues will get a chance to vote on a voice vote, I mean on a roll call vote.
Mr. Gibbs, 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to associate myself with the remarks of my colleagues, Mr. Goodlatte and Mr. King. I think our founding fathers had it right. They enumerated it in the Constitution that this body, Congress, is the only body that can regulate interstate commerce. And this is a clear interstate commerce issue. And right now I know that the issue is about animal welfare, but a state could come in and say, well, we've got this policy could actually become protectionist because they want to protect a certain sector of producers or whatever in their state. And that's just chaos. You know, it's clear in the 13 colonies, our founding fathers, that started to happen. And that's when they came up with the Interstate Commerce Clause. And there's no reason to study this. It's quite clear that Congress, we have the jurisdiction, the authority, and the responsibility to regulate interstate commerce so this doesn't get out of hand. I typically say, in this case, we're talking about eggs in this case, but boy, if the eggs raised in Iowa or Ohio, and under the regulations, USDA regulations, all that, it's good enough to raise in my state. Producers in my state, I'll have the right to sell those eggs anywhere in the United States. And so I just want to associate myself.
Would the gentleman yield?
Yes.
I really appreciate the gentleman yielding. Here's a headline for you. If live in California and buy eggs, if voters approve this in 2018, they'll need to be from cage-free hens. So the next initiative is going to say anywhere you produce eggs, anywhere in America, if you want to sell them in the largest state in the country, you've got to grow them in a cage-free environment. Now, where are we going to put a stop to this? This is an outrageous effort by one state to regulate agriculture in the rest of America. And it is simply not sensible to say that California should be able to dictate this. You're right. The people of California, through initiative and referendum, can do this kind of thing, but they should only be able to do it with regard to producers in California. Yep. And if they find that because we have one interstate system that doesn't work, then maybe they'll back away from trying to regulate the entire country by initiative and referendum in the state of California. This is not good for American agriculture, and Mr. King's amendment is the cure to it.
Yeah. We claim for time. So this is a really protectionist, and we're the body that sets the rules for across the states, across the country, and not one state. This case, it's California, but it could be Iowa trying to do something for other states. You know, that could happen. That shouldn't happen. One state legislature or petition initiatives, even worse, have the ability to make laws in my state from another state. Think about that and think of the consequences. That's why our founding fathers set it up that we're the body, Congress, that regulates this. I yield back. I yield to Mr. King.
I thank the gentleman from Ohio. I think this committee is maybe in need of an idea. So I had an idea about what could happen is that I pulled one of these little almonds out of my little bag here. And it's true that about 75% of the honeybees in America are transported by train and truck into California to pollinate the almond trees each February. And there they get together and they transfer disease from bees to bees, and those bees are hauled back to their home states, and we've lost a lot of population of bees in America. Now, what if Iowa or a larger population state or a coalition of states decided that we won't accept almonds coming into our states if the trees are pollinated by anything other than native Californian bees? That's the kind of thing that when you look at back the other way. Or if we said no wine will come into our state unless it first goes through a freeze-thaw cycle, where it has to resist the frozen ground, as an example. But I think it's important for us to look at the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, which the gentleman from California referenced. And he said it's a violation of the 10th Amendment, but it says the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. In this case, it's specifically the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. Those powers the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And so this is a very clear delineation. There's no violation of the 10th Amendment to the Constitution here. These powers are exclusively reserved for Congress itself. It says so in the body of the supreme law of the land. And also the argument by popular vote, there really doesn't carry any constitutional weight. But my recollection is that there was a referendum that passed this on California. Then the California legislature passed it to apply to the rest of the country, that there were two separate votes. That's my understanding of it. I don't want inspectors in my state, and I don't want to spend inspectors to California. But if it's a Ninth Circuit decision on this, that it's already been litigated, that neither does that impress people very much, I hate to tell you. But it also was not on the merits. It was on standing. And we provide that standing in this bill, and that's the only difference, Mr. Costa. Right. And also when I hear that HSUS is on this, I think that's another piece like the Ninth Circuit. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I yield back to the gentleman from Ohio.
Other comments on the bill? Yes, sir, Mr. Soto, 5 minutes.
Just a brief constitutional question. Some states have made marijuana legal. Others have them illegal. Would this now set up a cause of action for a state that's made marijuana legal for another state that has banned it from being imported? For instance, California, saying that they should sue Iowa because they cannot now import legalized marijuana. So I'm worried about the unintended consequences, and it'd be great to hear about whether the underlying bill could set up this sort of a cause of action between states.
Would the gentleman yield?
And I yield.
Yes, I can't imagine anybody in Iowa attempting to tell Californians how to raise marijuana, so we'd be out of that game.
Gentleman yields back. Anyone else want to speak on the Denham Amendment? I intend to vote against the Denham Amendment. I believe that the King Amendment is a better path forward. Share that my colleagues. Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion is on, the vote is on the gentleman's second degree amendment for Mr. Denham. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Pending the chair, the noes have it.